Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm-Up Sessions podcast. As always, let's dive into some batchy. Yeah.
Nice. A friend of mine sent me a photo of this coffee that they purchased it. They asked me if I tried it. I said, not this yet.
One? Is it Anthony?
It was Anthony. Nice. Did Anthony send you a DM too?
Yeah.
Nice. It's
like I finally got my hands on it. I was like, lovely.
Why are all these batch brews lukewarm? What's going on?
I don't know. Sometimes they're okay. They're not always this lukewarm.
This is like, if I had a thermometer, I would guess it's about 120. It was brewed like a minute ago. I wonder if that water, if the water temp actually in the brew head is low.
Could be, but it's saying, I think it's set to like over 205 or something. Yeah. Which is pretty hot for a batch pour. I don't think many batch pours can. Most batch pours are what, doing like 200?
I mean, if you're talking about like
home.
Like. All the SCA like star batch brews, whatever, mm-hmm. they have to brew at a certain temperature, and I think it's hotter than 200.
Okay,
so, but maybe like a Mr. Coffee for sure.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's fine. It's not fantastic, but I think it has something to do with the temp. That's what I'm not liking.
Could be actually.
Just kind of
actually could be.
It's not like
it's valid.
I'm not using like roasting terms when I say this,
yeah,
but it's dull and muted. Like it's like, but it's soft. The mouthfeel is very soft on it. It's very silky. It feels dialed, but I know these coffees decently well and they're always punchy.
Yeah.
But, not on this brew. So I'm going to blame all of this on not such a great batch brew.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, which one was that?
I believe that was the Las Perlitas honey.
It's the honey. Okay. This is Prodigal's Las Perlitas honey. I just had some leftover.
Roasted November 12th.
So it's nicely, nicely roasted.
According to Scott's recommendation, it's rested.
I've brewed this a handful of times on filter, and it's way more like jammy, fruity.
Lively.
Kind of... kind of taste almost borderline like a natural. That's how punchy it is. So yeah, this definitely doesn't do this gem justice.
Yeah,
it might be a temp thing.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
I have a feeling it is,
but it's like it's not always doing that. It's like whenever it wants to.
Yeah, I mean could be that I just plugged it in, press start. That shouldn't be a problem.
I have no idea. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. Pretty okay batch brew.
Mediocre.
But
can't be mad.
Nothing to be concerned about. Nothing to lose your life over.
It's so. Not my first cup of the day, so you
know. That's true.
Yeah.
If it was the first, I mean, you might be a little cranky about it.
It's like when you send out the bad wine towards the end of the party.
Yeah. Oh man. Yes. Wonderful. Well, you know, also for those of you wondering, we did go scope out some eagles.
Yes.
The conditions were a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
Not as rough as last year.
Was it last year that?
Or the year before that?
Yeah.
Where it was like a blizzard out there.
That was great.
Yeah.
So I think that was last year.
Yeah. So this year, a few little eagles perched on the branches. Yeah.
Good old Sir was still perched about above the roasting. Above the brewing spot.
The brewing...
Dude, he was there.
He was
guiding the brew along.
Lovely.
This time straight out of the trunk. That was not bad.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. It was just downpour, raining, wet.
So bad.
So it was a little crunchy.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was good. But yeah, not... I mean, we don't want to extend this holiday season and keep... But it's also the season for like New Year's, the holidays, all this stuff. But today, I know last year we did kind of like a year in review. Today, honestly, I thought, man, what if we Also, I'm going to preface that with saying, we're stepping into year four of Mir, which is insane. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's, I don't know. It feels surreal. Like, like time just flew by.
And is it stepping into year four? Or we've done year four because we've done all of 2020. We've done all of 2021.
Right. So
we've
I guess
we've done all of 2022. We've done all of 2023. Are we stepping into year five? How does that work?
I guess, yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
No, no, I guess we, yeah. I guess you'd be, you'd
we've been operating for 4 years.
You'd be in four and stepping onto five.
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. That's even scarier.
Yeah.
So a few years doing this thing, which is awesome. Again, I would, feels like I should, I'm, never really expected it, but at the same time, I was like, well, yeah,
what else do you expect?
What's plan B?
Yeah. 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 If you're making coffee brown, you're doing the thing.
Yeah. And so we just wanted to look back at, you know, this year and specifically and just ask ourselves, like, what did we learn in coffee?
Yeah.
Because not only is coffee evolving as an industry, but I think the more experience, the more, experience, but also like smaller experiences that you have, you're just gaining in perspective. You're getting better, whether that's, you know, your fifth year competing or your first year competing.
Right.
Every single time you're just getting the reps in. And I think a lot of anything what you want to be good at, whether you're playing, you know, pickleball or whatever it is, it's like you just need to get the reps in, build that muscle memory, build that, I don't know, just muscle memory.
Yeah.
Going through, not just going through the motions, but really getting into it. So, and we've been doing this for 4 years, but also you've worked in coffee before that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So have I, less than you. And so I feel like also, that all being said, I'm almost done with my rant here, but that all being said, I feel like the more that you're into it, feels like some people just stop learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With experience,
challenging it's just themselves. Right.
Yeah. 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 Maybe that's more it. Like you just don't necessarily think to challenge yourself because you have things kind of set in place. So,
I think the big thing is what you said in this preface is the fact that there's this tension of making sure that one, I totally kind of lost my thought, but I'm kind of still there. But the tension,
the headphones threw Sergio off.
Yeah. No, the tension between doing things on repeat, like going through the motions, right, and at the same time making sure that you're doing a new thing.
Yeah.
So, I think there's not, it's not a balance. Like I specifically use the word tension because you have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You have to put in the reps. You have to keep doing bench press if you want your chest to grow, but you might want to add some more weight. Mm-hmm. So the repetition is doing that same workout, but the new thing is you're adding more weight. And I think after 4 years, we've added so much more weight into what we do, but we've done the same thing over and over again. Yeah, that's a very important thing to understand, to distinguish when one, you look back and then when you look forward, because looking forward, we don't know what's going to happen in 2024. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is that year after year, that experience increased because of the things that we did on repeat. And that was a big thing this year. It was a hard year in general for coffee. Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy on our economy didn't make things easy. Mm-hmm. A lot of things happened, which we'll talk probably in future episodes. But the reality is, like, we kept roasting coffee, we kept buying green coffee, we kept figuring out, okay, how do we move this coffee? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't all smooth. It wasn't all easy.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we kept doing it. And what's encouraging is looking back at our, like, last quarter and looking at our numbers, like, we semi-exploded in the last quarter when a lot of my friends were struggling with just cafes and roasteries and struggling to bring in the revenue. We actually did pretty good.
Yeah.
And to me, that is a big testament towards just doing the same thing over again. But my point that I wanted to bring on, like, the main thing that I learned is I'm still learning the same thing over and over again, which is in coffee business in general, like, you know, serving guests. Mm-hmm. The key is being a people person. Like, mm-hmm. You can't outdo just being a good business person. And I know you can follow up with this and say the opposite. I know that because we've talked about this.
No, but you're spot on.
I mean, yeah, you can't outdo the business side by just crunching numbers. Like, you have to be a people person. And whatever you're doing with your business, however you want to grow it, there's strategy, there's marketing, there's all those things. But the reality is you're marketing for people, not towards people, but for people, right?
Yeah.
And the goal is that you're able to serve people well, whether that's a cafe or a roasting company.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that's like, because some of my highlights throughout the year were, one, some of the new importing companies that we brought on. Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about this in the last episode, our time at SCA, mm-hmm. Hanging out with our people, like mm-hmm. with the good people. And then across the board with the importing companies, also like going back into competition and then seeing how important that people are that you're competing with, like all of those mm-hmm. things you competed for the first time. So mm-hmm. stuff like that, that reassured me, like, I gotta continue to invest in the concept of what people are around me, who's around me, and how do I serve people. The business side, that's also part of it, but that's anchored in that.
Yeah, 100%. I would totally agree. I think that's probably why there are certain people placed in certain roles
mm-hmm.
to make sure that doesn't go overlooked.
Yeah.
And something I'm also noticing in, for example, like, this is just kind of more business side a little bit, but in corporate, just a lot of corporate brands are struggling right now with this concept of being relatable and being relevant in today's culture, because a lot of them have become so big and so monstrous, and they have these things that they stick to, these guidelines for, you know, their brand or their look or how they communicate. But culture has already progressed so much. Like, we've seen, you know, change in all kinds of things, whether that's music, fashion, art in general. So many things have shifted over the last, you know, 5-6 years. The expansion of TikTok, new ways to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's a lot. That's a really big difficulty for a lot of them to be able to say, how do we actually be people focused again, instead of just going in the motions of business? Let's just sell. Let's just move stuff, put stuff on a shelf.
Yeah.
But how do we actually become more people focused? So I have no objections. Yeah. I think that's very true.
Yeah. Another thing, hearing you say that, like, there's also a difference between being quote unquote people focused, like we shoot, right? Like, you're taking mm-hmm. it and you're like focusing on your subject and you're putting that subject in focus so that you can take a photo and it looks crispy and sharp, mm-hmm. right? But that's much different than being people centric.
Right.
And
right,
I think
yes.
the key is being people centric.
Yes.
Not just people focused. Because mm-hmm. people focus, again, can become this project where you need that person that you're focusing on to buy your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
people-centric 100%. Is like, oh, you're like present with, you're both the person who sells, but you're also the person who purchases.
Yeah.
You're on both sides of the, I guess, coin, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
So you're people-centric instead of just people-focused. And that's sure. a big deal. I mean, one, let's talk about producers, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Your conversation with Jorge, my mm-hmm. experience in Indonesia with coffee farmers, and realizing that, again, it's not enough to just be focused on origin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to center your vision around the concept of what happens at origin.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very well said. I think midway through what I was saying, I was like, man, how do I put that into words? But that's what I was,
yeah,
what I was in the back of my mind that I was trying to put mm-hmm. words to. So, yeah, that's solid. I think for me personally, the biggest learning experience for this year in coffee has been, I know this word got really overused in during COVID, and I hate it. But I just, the lack of better term is being able to adjust to
pivot.
I don't want to say that word. That word's so dumb. Like, dude, everybody pivot. And their mom was three pivoting.
Three in the key, my guy. Like, pivot.
For me, I think this year was a lot of pivoting and adjusting and learning how to do that and learning how to kind of based off of that, you know, concept of going, putting in the reps, but being able to add on a little bit of weight when you need to,
yeah.
So that you can adjust, so that you can get better, so that you can learn, as opposed to simply just doing it and that's yeah. It, you know? And so for me, I think like everything from, you know, our release of the new bags, the new boxes was, you know, that took up like those first 2-3 months, that first quarter. Mm-hmm. And then of course, like our adjustment to cupping with different water.
Yep.
That was like, okay, so we're going to make another adjustment. We're going to need to make another change. But then as soon as we changed our water that we're cupping with, our roasts naturally started to also get adjusted a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also another interesting, like, okay, so we kind of had this, let's say like a style, not to say that we've changed a lot, but there are kind of like micro adjustments that we've done in our roasting,
mm-hmm.
that we taste because we're cupping these,
yeah.
You know, all the time. We're always drinking our coffees. If somebody, you know, might have bought a couple of bags, they're like, oh, you know, it's kind of,
yeah,
as I remember them, you know. But for us, just like cupping with different water and then having that adjusting our roast accordingly, mm-hmm. to bring out different things in our coffees. And then on top of that was adjusting to different, you know, sourcing coffees from different people that we've, yeah. sourced. And I think we've sourced some, you know, some tasty bangers this year,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm pretty stoked about, which is getting me excited for this upcoming year as well.
Exactly.
But just seeing that progression through the year,
mm-hmm.
was like, cool. There was just a lot of these like adjusting, learning experiences, figuring things out,
yeah.
And what felt like net positive growth.
Yeah,
and
totally.
For me, I mean, for being 4 years in and still having net positive growth,
yeah.
And for the better, I mean, that's what got me pumped.
Yeah, especially looking at this last quarter, like there's a lot of things that happened that I personally did not expect, and mm-hmm. like things came through, especially in a time when we all know the economy is not great. Buyer's confidence is super low. Like, mm-hmm. I have those conversations with guests in the cafe all the time. So like I'm fully aware, we're fully aware that this is a tough time to run a business, but putting in the reps, like you got to do it. And mm-hmm. even if there's a little more weight on those reps, like you don't lose your form. Like you keep pushing, you keep holding on to your form. You don't mm-hmm. sacrifice form just yeah. to push more weight. Like that's never good. That's when injuries happen. Yeah. That's when you do stupid stuff. And then all of a sudden you can't put in the reps because you lost your form. So holding on to that form and being able to push through the weight and not over leveraging yourself, but not giving up and not stopping is like so crucial. And it's such a fine line because at the end of the day, it's tough. It's stressful. Mm-hmm. It's, it can be a headache. You know, you yeah. have to figure out how to be able to say yes and no. You have to make decisions mm-hmm. continually. And then you also have to have vision because you're still looking towards the new year and you're yeah. like, okay, what are we going to do based off of this last quarter? Or what are we going to do after, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about our Indonesian coffees right yeah. now. Like, what are we going to do? Like, how much more Indonesian coffee are we going to buy based on last year's numbers? Right. And then how much coffee can that producer give us this year?
Right.
Like, can they give us more or they don't have any coffees for us? And if they don't have any coffees for us, are we still going to have an Indonesian coffee?
Right.
You know, so asking all of those questions and putting in the reps into the new year and trying to carry more weight, that's... There's a lot going on in there, and I think you just have to keep going, keep moving.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And on top of that, you know, I hope, even though I think that for me, that pivoting and learning and adjusting
mm-hmm.
that felt like we've had like kind of for most of the just fine tuning everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And kind of getting into a groove, which I also, the other thing I wanted to mention This is just a little side rant, but you know, before there was a time when we talked a lot about staying in your own lane.
Yeah. I was thinking about that on the way here.
And man, yeah. As I was thinking about today's episode, that kept coming up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I wouldn't be wrong if that was also pretty iconic for this year for us. Mm-hmm. Because at least for me, it was becoming more confident and more, I guess, just rooted on everything that took 4 years to build, or yeah, I guess this, including this year, three, yeah. four, whatever. And realizing like, oh no, there's something here. It's finally kind of settled down to where we got things going. And now it's just like staying in your lane, adjusting, and kind of, you're almost like sinking into your roast process, sinking into your sourcing, sinking into kind of like how you present yourself, what kind of coffees, you know, you're yeah. serving, how you're going to serve them, how you're going to talk about them. Like yeah. a lot of these things, and it felt like, okay, we're sitting in there. I don't even know how to explain yeah. it. It's yeah. better if you watch this podcast, you'll see. Yeah. 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 So,
yeah. yeah. I also, part of like sticking in your own lane is recognizing other lanes. And yeah. making sure that you know that there's other lanes and that's okay.
Yes.
Like you don't have to drive, or you don't have to stick into someone else's lane just because it's available. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to. Mm-hmm. You can always merge, like for sure, but you want to make sure that you stick in your own lane, because that's the best and safest way. That's the way that goes the farthest, is your lane. And I think part of that is also, it's been an exciting year to look at what other people are doing in the industry. You mm-hmm. know, we've talked a lot about, you know, Kyle and September and all the coffees that September Coffee has brought on, like, and watching Kyle stick in his own lane.
Yeah.
You know, right. And then also not being like, oh, you know, we should, you know, also, like, I don't know, buy a Loring. I don't yeah. know, because Kyle did. Yeah. Like, that's cool. That's exciting. Great. You know, and we do this.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, where it's like, you acknowledge other people's progress, you acknowledge their lane, and you keep crushing in yours. And sometimes it's inspiring to see that. Like, for you know, sure. For at least for me, it's like, I mean, the classic of, you know, if you're driving on the interstate and you see a car that may be your dream car, it's like, oh, dope, sick, you know, but you're not merging into that car's lane to cut it off. I mean, it's a stupid example, but you know, you see my point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like stuff like that that I think is also inspiring about this year, because I've seen a lot of people crush it. I've seen a lot of my friends just I don't know, I feel like go 10x, you know, in yeah. certain areas of life, and then in certain areas of business. And it's super inspiring. And then I've also seen myself being like, oh, this changed in my life, and now I'm doing this, or now mm-hmm. I'm focusing more on this. And that's great. But I'm still doing the thing.
Yeah,
you know, that
yeah.
hasn't changed.
And so, and realizing, you know, to this lane analogy, it's just like, there's a little bit of everything. Like
yeah.
we've seen roasters and cafes go the wrong way, mm-hmm. where things got much more difficult, and if not closed,
yeah,
even in our small little town,
yeah,
which always is like kind of a bummer to see. Yeah. And so it's realizing that, actually sticking in your own lane actually leads to a lot of sustainability actually for long term.
Mm-hmm.
When you can kind of find that and not be swayed
right
left to yeah. right, and realize that there's room for everybody. Your job is to perfect your craft. Your job is to get good at what you're doing. Your job is to make sure you're doing it to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. yeah, there's yeah. I mean, there's not much more that you could actually do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So there's no complaints at the end if you just continue doing that. Yeah. It's cool. I love this conversation, because like all of it has like that major through line. You know, you come in and you make sure that you're putting in the reps, make sure you're people centric, and all of that keeps you in your own lane. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an awesome thing, like to look back at 2023 and to be like, okay, if I had to sum up a few key themes, it would be that like staying in your own lane means that you have to be people centric. That's mm-hmm. our lane, you know, and then making sure that we're not only putting in the reps of the same old, but we're adding on and we're seeing the weight increase because we're getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. That's like, those are big things. That's not like, oh, you know, all of a sudden we started roasting, you know, 6 pound batches. We were roasting 8 pound batches. That's something we learned in 2023.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that simple. It's much bigger, which is great. Like,
yeah,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. 100%. And not to say that, you know, those things are invaluable, but I think some of these core things that are not, it's not like, I don't know. It's not like a batch size number.
Yeah.
But it's more like, oh no, these are just underlining structural main core parts that you have to nail down, because it doesn't matter if you're roasting 10 pound batches or six.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, frick, if your coffee tastes good.
Yeah.
Totally. That's all that matters. So
good stuff.
Right on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for listening to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Hopefully you guys have a wonderful new year, because I think new year happens after a few days after this podcast airs.
Yep.
So, hooray. Hurrah.
Whoop, whoop.
There it is, folks. Remember, reflect what's good.